my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Abraham Lincoln and Barack Obama both were elected president at critical turning points for the United States. Our guest, Harold Holzer, is a distinguished Lincoln scholar. In his 2008 book, Lincoln, President-Elect, Abraham Lincoln and the Great Secession Winter 1860-61, Mr. Holzer reaffirms Lincoln's political genius, his diligence, patience, and skill during the crucial 4 months between Lincoln's election and his inauguration. If you want to learn from Lincoln, Mr. Holzer says, look at the beginning of his presidency, starting at his election, not at the end of it.
I always thought it was strange that President Bush carried a book about the last month of Lincoln's presidency. That's not where you should start. It doesn't start with thinking you're a martyr and a hero. It starts with the nitty-gritty. He should have, there are other books he could have read. You start with the flip side. You start with the foundation, you start with the pedestal, not with the monument. That's what they should all remember. I hope they do.
In addition to being the author of Lincoln, President-Elect, Harold Holzer is co-chairman of the U.S. Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. He's written or is co-author of 30 books on Abraham Lincoln and the American Civil War. Among his many awards are a Lincoln Prize for his book Lincoln at Cooper Union. He's also senior vice president of external affairs at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. Since practically everyone now claims Lincoln, whether or not it is correct, Bill Russell and I jumped at the opportunity to welcome a serious Lincoln scholar qualified to bring us genuine lessons.
Harold Holzer, I'm always of myself entranced by how easy it is for me to be trapped by conventional wisdom. You spend your life amidst greatness, not celebrity, not fame, greatness, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
True.
And as I read Lincoln, President-Elect, I kept thinking, what is it that Holzer can see that I, who have accepted the conventional wisdom that Lincoln was brilliant, then he was a dolt, and then he was brilliant again, what is it that Holzer can see that I can't see, that there's something here? Is there something in your experience of living in real greatness, of the arts, the best the humanity can manage, that helped you say, what's wrong with this picture?
That's a great way of describing it. Do you mind if I steal it?
Absolutely, steal it. No attribution
necessary.
This
is the first discussion I've had about my new book. I'm so happy to be having it with you both.
Of 30.
I hope, 30. It's a really, I haven't pondered that. It's such a surprise question. But, you know, part of what I see in the development of Lincoln's character and leadership during this interregnum that was so dangerous for the country and to him. He might not have made it to the inauguration if he didn't do everything pretty much perfectly. But to take your question literally about what am I picturing, he saw the wisdom of pictures sometimes to replace words. When he couldn't speak, he went to the photographers and had new pictures made with his new beard to show how avuncular and statesmanlike he looked. When he couldn't speak, he agreed to sit for a sculptor every day to have a heroic bust made that could be reproduced in quantity. When he couldn't speak, because presidents-elect didn't speak, he had painters do his portrait. And he was the first president who was, maybe Jackson a bit, Andrew Jackson, but he was pretty conscious of the power of images. But I wish I could identify him as a fellow museum enthusiast, because when he went to Chicago, before he was president, he got an invitation to this museum called Bryan's Hall. Mm-hmm. Please come and see our Hall of American Presidents, all 15 presidents, ending with you. I wouldn't have been able to resist that invitation. He didn't even remember who Mr. Bryan was, even though only a few weeks before he had granted his artist permission to paint him. And he just wrote back, I cannot avail myself of this Mr. Bryan's request. So, I don't know, he had a knack for this subject, but he wasn't an art lover.
And it goes a little farther, and then, yeah, of course, Bill, it's your turn. You heightened for me the sense of his ability to make pictures out of his words. I mean, there's an exquisite sense of sculpturing.
Isn't
with
his writing
words.
Extraordinary?
Yeah, well, we're not the first to discover that, but it's great to discover
it
again.
It's important to rediscover it. We tend to forget it. In that context, you were very generous in your appreciation of what Doris Kearns Goodwin mm-hmm. did.
And she of you.
She's been very nice. Very kind.
both with her book, but also with her research materials, which is good. But it was she who helped me understand more about Lincoln, and it fits precisely with the kind of thing you're talking about, that his commitment was not to the Union so much, not against slavery, it was commitment to the people's ability to govern themselves, that was the bottom
freedom
line.
Freedom of choice, this. Democratic rule.
And once I understood that, all of a sudden the Gettysburg Address, you know, just became sort of a textbook. I mean, you can read American history and the full, everything necessary to me in the Gettysburg Address. And Lincoln is concise, he's clear, he's unambiguous, he's no florid phrases, which was pretty typical of that
florid
time.
Indeed.
That is to say, florid was typical of the time.
In fact, when he gives his first inaugural, one of the best critiques of it I've ever heard was, he uses words that we learned as children.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's true, and
yeah.
He makes poetry out of them,
yeah.
Which is the hardest thing of all.
And very few heretofores.
As you point out.
And very few classical allusions, and yeah. Whenever there's a biblical allusion, it's very subtle.
Yeah.
It's part of the... He didn't say, as they say in the book of Matthew, a house divided against itself. He just integrated into his own.
Well, some of that, I think, is what is so important then as well as now. We've come to understand, or at least intellectually understand, that if you treat people like children, they will behave like children.
Mm-hmm.
If you treat children as if they're, you know, however you treat them, they will tend to respond that way. We've tended to treat people as if they're not very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And wonder of wonders, we've responded appropriately.
Right.
That is to say, badly. And Lincoln, bless him, didn't do that.
Let us return to Lincoln. What a pleasure to be both in the company of Abraham Lincoln and Harold Holzer. We'll all be back in just a moment. Be with us.